Good morning. How are you doing? We were gone for a while, and now the air conditioning's working. So that's nice. We have a, a series of summer specials. And since this is summer, we don't know who's going to be here from week to week. I know the Casses were catching a end of summer vacation, and we hope that they're having fun up in Mackinac. We have some people visiting us, and other people are out trying to get in that vacation before school starts. But today I wanted to talk about a Shema lifestyle. How many remember the word Shema? Okay, good. All right. And I want to ask the question, what's the most important thing that God tells us to do? And we see this in Mark. So let's read Mark. Mark 12. And we're just going to look at four verses. I had six down, but we're just going to look at four. Mark 12:28. Of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. We're familiar with that. The greatest commandment, love God. Love God with everything you are, everything you have. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what does that mean? How do we do that? How do we go about loving God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength? Well, the quote that the Lord Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy 6, so we're going to look there for that answer. What do I do about that? It went like this. Sorry. Technical details here, but we have help in the front row, so that's good. Out of Deuteronomy 6, we're told, let's go back. Yeah, all right. No, you're right. Sorry. This is it. How do we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? This is where the word comes from. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. What's it mean? Shema means listen. Yisrael means, O Israel. Listen, Israel. Yahweh, our God, is one Lord, or one Yahweh. And the word listen here, it means not just listen and hear it, but listen and do it. It means obey. Obey God's commands. It's not working again. Can you just advance it? Okay. And so we're going to read through the text and keep that in mind. What are they to do? They are to listen, they are to hear, they're to do, they are to obey. So as we read this, keep in mind that that's the clue of what Moses is telling them here. These are the commands, the decrees, and the laws of the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess. They were standing on the edge of the Jordan. They're about to enter the land. And he says, this is what you're to do once you go into that land, so that you and your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. So Now, if you love someone, you want to make that person happy. You want to please them. You don't want to make them sad or mad or grieved, but you want to make them glad. And so that's what, if you love someone, that's what's on your heart. And he says, impress, these are to be on your hearts. And then he says, this is a priority for the home. Impress them on your children. I love what Chris just did here. We didn't cooperate, we didn't coordinate that, but how important it is to impress it upon our children in our home, but also in a faith community. And she was talking about, as a faith community, we need to be responsible for these children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. When do you talk about them? All the time and everywhere. And this is for your own children, but also for the children in the faith community. Now remember, in the Old Testament, who were their neighbors? They were all members of the faith community. But now, we're in a little different situation. But he says, tie them as symbols on your hands. I wore this thing today. Some people have these all the time, and they represent different things. But this one happens to say hope. I don't know where I got it. But tie them on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to his fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And then when you eat and are satisfied, when everything's going well and your lives are full and busy, he says, be careful. Be careful that you don't let the good things squeeze out the important things, that you don't let your busyness in the fullness of life make you stop purposely obeying God. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the people around you. He wants us to influence the people around us and not be influenced by them. We're to lead them to the true God and not follow them into false gods and false and idols. Be sure to keep the commands of the Lord your God and the stipulations and the decrees he has given you. Do what's right and good in the Lord's sight, that it may go well with you and you may go in and out and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your forefathers. So all of those things, he's saying you're about to enter this land and God is about to fulfill his promises that he made way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, way back before they were 400 years captive in Egypt. He's about to make it all come true. And what's your responsibility? To remember God, and to do that every day. How do you do that? You must remind yourselves. We must remind one another every day. And it's not just to know the words, but actually to do them. So if we're to love God with all oneself, and that means to obey God's commands, does this sound familiar? Didn't Jesus say, if you love me, what will you do? You will keep my commands. And we're told to make disciples. We're told now, the Old Testament, Israel was a nation among many nations, and the nations were to see how they were blessed, that God was among them. And they were blessed because they obeyed God, and he was able to fulfill all his promises to them. But now we're told, no, you go out into the nations. Matthew 28 says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey what? Everything I've commanded you. That's our job. We're to obey it, and we're to teach it. We're to do it, and we're to talk about it. He says, and then I'm with you even to the end of the age. So there's two wings on an airplane, right? Yes. We were just in New Jersey, and we were able to spend a day and a half with Donnie. He took us up in one of the planes and flew us along the New Jersey beach. We did not pull a banner, but because those planes are only have one person in them, they're not allowed to take passengers. But we saw his friends pulling banners, and it was quite fun. But yes, there are two wings on an airplane. And for the airplane of being God's witness, we have to walk and talk. We need to show and tell. We need to live the right way, and then we need to speak about it. We need to keep God's commands, and then we need to share the gospel. And that's what he's talking about here. What does God want us to do? He said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. Now, can we do a good job of teaching someone to obey if they look in our lives and we're not obeying? No. We have to be a disciple before we can make disciples. We have to obey ourselves. And in our homes, if we tell our children to obey and they say, Dad, you're not doing that, or Mom, you're not doing that. No, it's at the home is where they see who you really are. And so first it has to start in the home. And then it can spill over into our lives. And so he says there's going to be a tendency to forget. Chris talked about people who believe at one point and then something causes them to walk away. A lot of it's the pressure from the world around them. A lot of that is they're being told there's no God. Science has proven there's no God. We spend a lot of time in the institutes talking about the apologetics of that there is proof for God. There is proof for a creator. But there's different pressures that come upon children when they leave home to say, give up your faith. That's for when you were children. No, it's not for just when we're children. Yes, we should teach our children, but you should never outgrow this faith. And so we need reminders. And these reminders are for ourselves, for each person individually, for your family, and for the faith community. That we are in a love relationship with God. God showed his love for us first. How did he show his love for us? He redeemed us with the blood of Christ. And so, just like the nation of Israel, they were redeemed by putting the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost. They came out. We're redeemed, but we're not redeemed with the blood of an animal. We're redeemed by the blood of the Son of God himself. And so, if we understand that and we believe that, we need to let that truth fill us up. And we need to intentionally remind ourselves of how great that is every day. And remember, remind isn't teaching you something new. It's telling you something you already know and you don't want to forget. Now, is it great that Christ redeemed us? Who would say it's great that Christ redeemed us? Is there anything greater? But does that thought always fill us? That's what we need to do. We need to be reminding ourselves continually and filling up on that. And we're just reminding ourselves to hear the word, but we're doing it. And when you do that, when you live according to God's word, you live according to his commands, will that be different from how the world lives? Yes. Will people notice that? Yes. They notice when we do, and they notice when we don't. But when we live according to God's commands, we are his witnesses. But we can't just leave it as a mime. Someone said, always preach the gospel and when necessary, use words. Well, that quote never happened. That's like saying, feed the hungry and when necessary, use food. No. We're to preach the gospel. Yes, we're to live consistently, but also words have to come out of our mouths. When God would do a redemptive act, he wouldn't just do something great and powerful. He also gave words to the prophets to explain what he did. There was explanation of the Exodus. There's explanation of the different miracles. And so God wants us to live according to his commands and then to talk about it. And if we live according to God's commands, if we make it our purpose every day, this day is for God. This day is to do God's will. This day is to please God. This day is for me to do the commands of God. And we start out that day and remind ourselves through the day, God will bless us and people will notice. And then it will be like someone who passes by your gate and sees as though it's written here on the gate, belongs to the Lord. Let's look at that. There, I want to go back to verse 6 of chapter 5, or verse 5 of chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Love the Lord with all your heart, and with your soul and with all your strength, and these commands are to be on your hearts. If it's on your heart, it's important to you. And he says, let it be. Make it so. Make this command so important to you. Why? Because this is what pleases God. So put there on your hearts, I want to love God. That means I want to please God. I want to do what he says. Tell it to your children and talk to them all the time about it. At home, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, when you get up. As we already said, this means all the time. Verse 8, tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. So, you can do this, I guess. My wife just got the movie at a garage sale, Karate Kid, so we're going to watch that. No, it's you can be a symbol. A symbol that you belong to the Lord. And it's who's it? Now, on your hand, how many of you have a wedding ring? Okay, do you wear it every day? Do people see it? Who sees it? Or an engagement ring? Or a promise ring? Who sees it? People that are close enough to you to see it, right? Who sees it the most? I see it more than anyone else. Who's a reminder to? It reminds everyone. It lets everyone know. But who sees it the most? I do. So if it's on your hand, you are going to see it the most. So God wants you to remind yourself what's true about your relationship with Christ. Now, is it possible to take things that you wear every day for granted? Yes, it is. And so to put intentionality into it, you have to use your brain. You have to engage your mind to make it intentional. Now, if it's on your forehead, who sees that? Everyone else. You can't see it. I can't see it. So why would he say put it on your forehead? Maybe it means to be on your mind, to think about it. But if it's there, who sees it? Everyone else. So why would he tell us to do that? Who's that for? It's for others. Who sees you the most? Your family. Who else sees you? Your friends. Who else sees you? The people that you work with. Strangers. People you meet at Kroger's. And so this is a reminder. It's a prompter, actually, that you belong to the Lord. And it can make other people think, he belongs to the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and wear something weird, okay? This is a metaphor. This is telling us that we are to make reminders to ourselves and prompters to other people that we belong to the Lord. Now, how about your house? If you write, now he says you can write something. If you write it on your house, on the door frame of your house, who's going to see it the most? You, your family, whoever lives in the house, right? And whoever visits you, who visits you? Family, friends, neighbors, door-to-door salesmen, UPS, delivery men, that's right, progressive dinner guests from church, right? What about your gate? If it's written on your gate and your yard, who's going to see that? Neighbors, people who walk by. Now, Pastor Johnny saw a banner, I think at English Gardens, and he said, that belongs in Debbie's garden, and he bought it and gave it to Debbie. And it's been there for years, and now it's kind of tattered because it's worn from weathered from the weather. But it's from Matthew 11:28. If you're weary, if you're tired, if you come to me, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, says the Lord Jesus Christ. So, yes, this will be a sign and a prompter to other people. Now, as we said before, in the Old Testament, who were they? They were mostly fellow Israelites. It was a testimony to their family and to the family of faith. We still do that, but now that we're no longer telling the people to come to us, we're told to go into the nations and tell them the good news of Christ. So now your neighbors, it can be family and it can be family of Christ, Christians, but also it can be people who are not Christians. And he wants them to pass by our gates and to come into our houses and have interaction with us. Now, what's a Shema action? Shema, some people have said we need a Shema lifestyle. This means Shema actions and Shema words. And Shema means what? Listen or obey. So whenever we do anything that's in line with the Scripture, and anything that's prompted by the love of God or the compassion of God or anything that comes out of the fruit of the Spirit, when we obey God's commands, people will take notice of that. And we can use that not to point to ourselves, but point to God, that God is at work in us. God's changing me. It's the Holy Spirit inside, and that's helping me live according to His will. Now, you've heard of this one, right? L-O-L. What's it mean? All right, let's change that. Let's change that to live out loud. Live out loud, and so that's like the airplane, the two wings, living and talking. So the living is living, and out loud is speaking. So be openly spiritual. That doesn't mean be weirdly religious, but be openly spiritual and show love for God and others. Isn't that what spiritual is? What's the greatest commandment? Love God, love people. So be openly spiritual and you can use this as a prompter to talk about Christ. So we live in an openly spiritual way to remind ourselves that we belong to the Lord. Do we need to remind ourselves? Yes, we do. And as Chris said, many people start in a path and for some reason, because of all the pressure of the world, they leave. We need to remind ourselves that we belong to the Lord and that we are His witnesses to the lost world, and we can prompt situations where other people become interested in spiritual discussions. You could say living out loud is letting your love relationship with God show. Not in a hypocritical or weird way, but naturally and purposefully. What we need to do is we need to ask God for divine appointments. Pray. Pray that God would allow for you to have a talk, a spiritual talk with someone, a neighbor, family member, someone that you'll see many times again at work, in which case, if you know you're going to see them over and over, don't think you have to say everything at once. You don't have to. But ask God to set up divine appointments so that you'll be able to talk with someone. I want to think of some divine appointments. One, do you remember when Paul and Silas were in Philippi? They got the grand treatment. They were thrown in jail. They were beaten. And while they're in jail, what do? They were singing praises and thanking God. Now, is that normal? I was involved in jail ministry a few years back in Ohio. I didn't hear a lot of that in the jail. Some did after they came to Christ. And so, if you work in the jail, if you're another prisoner, and you see these guys praising God and thanking God, wouldn't that catch your attention? Yes. And then that's not the only thing that happened. There was an earthquake and their chains fell off. What did the jailer do then? He said, I'm in big trouble. He's going to kill himself. Paul says, don't kill yourself. We're still here. And it's like, what in that whole thing was natural? It's totally unnatural. And yet, Paul, because they started off praising God, they were in control of the earthquake, but they were concerned for this man's life. What happened to the jailer? He and his whole household were saved. We need to ask God, how can we turn everyday topics into a spiritual conversation? Think of the woman at the well in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman. She asked Jesus for a drink of water, or Jesus asked her for a drink of water. Now, was that unusual? It's not unusual at a well to get water, but what was unusual? She was a Samaritan woman. He was a Jewish man. The Jews and Samaritans didn't talk to each other, and men and women didn't always talk to each other. But then he said, you know what? If you knew who was talking to you, you would ask him, and he would give you better water, living water. And she said, really? And they talked about it. And then she said, I want that water. Go get your husband. That woman drank of that spiritual water, but not just she went and got the whole town, and the whole town drank with her. So this is a way of turning something natural. This is a well. They get water from it, but they say there's better water. How about bread? One time Jesus said, you know, when Jesus turned, he did a miracle. And of course, it always helps if you can do miracles to get people's attention. But he fed the 5,000 men and plus women and children. And the next day they show up and they said, Jesus, you know, that's really good. Moses, however, fed everyone for 40 years. Wouldn't that be nice? And then we'd believe in you if you did it for 40 years. And Jesus said, you need bread that will give you eternal life and not the bread that you need to eat over and over every day. And so he talked from physical bread to spiritual bread. Now, sometimes when you're talking to people and you turn it to a spiritual conversation, some people will be interested and want to hear more, and other people, they'll just shut right down. At that time, some were offended and they stopped following him. Others said, no, we're sticking with you because you have the words of eternal life. So don't think that every time you turn something to a spiritual conversation, people will be interested. Sometimes they will, and sometimes they won't. How do you know what they're going to do? You don't know. That's why you do it. Because some will respond and others won't. But we're praying for God to give us spiritual or divine appointments and help us to talk to people about spiritual things. And it can be just a word. It can be, thank God for the rain. Maybe that'll provoke someone. And then you can, if they look like they're not turned off by the word thank God, you can go a little further and say, doesn't God provide for us wonderfully? And see where that goes. So, what about your relationship with God? What about it that really fills you with joy or wonder or gratitude? Let's stop and think about that for a minute. What about your relationship with God that fills you with joy or wonder or gratitude? Because this is something that's happening in your life. Is there a way that you can bring that up sometime in a conversation? We need to strategize about this so that when the time comes and the divine appointment comes, we'll go, this is a divine appointment. I can actually say something. I can say something spiritual. I can prompt someone to think about God. And that's what we want to do. We want to be reminding ourselves that we are in a love relationship with God. He showed his love to us by redeeming us from sin and hell and in giving us his spirit. And we show our love to him. How? By keeping his commands, by doing what he said. He said, you are my witnesses. Live a holy life and then talk about Christ. And you know, the best way to love God and your neighbor is what? To introduce them to each other. It's really a good idea, actually, because God thought of it. So this week, let's be thinking, We're reminding ourselves how special it is that we belong to God. Now, and then, Lord, how can I show my love to you? How can I keep your commands? How can I become the person you want me to be more consistently, more fully in my life? And then, Lord, how can I help my family? How can I help my children, my wife, my husband, whoever's in your family? How can I help the faith family to do this? Let's be a community that encourages one another so that when you see me wearing this, you don't think I'm just weird. Actually, I'm not going to wear this, but when you see my faith in God evident, let that be an encouragement to you. Let that be a reminder to you. And when I see yours, or when you see your own, or you recognize I belong to God, let that stir us up to be a community that loves God more and more and more and speaks about him more and more. And pray for divine appointments. And I want to see if anyone has divine appointments this week where you can say one word. It doesn't have to be the whole gospel. It doesn't have to be the four spiritual laws. We're getting into a culture now that's more and more antagonistic to believing in God, so it's harder to get a start. But if you can get a start and get one word in, that's a good thing, especially if someone is going to have an ongoing relationship with you. We can talk about this more later. But let's think about that this week and pray about that God would give us opportunity to speak spiritual things to our friends and neighbors and also to build up the community of faith so that we are loving God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these commands that you've given us. The commands that we have in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Lord, give us hearts that want to please you, that are filled with love and gratitude for what you've done for us. Fill us with the wonder what it means to be in relationship with you. And if there's any that have doubt about that, they're not sure about that, Lord, that they don't know if they're in relationship with you, Lord, I want to talk to them. Please, and if that's true of you, please talk to me afterwards because you want to get this settled. You don't want this doubt to remain floating around. But help us, Lord, to be consistent in our love for you, to grow more and more so that we actually do live according to your commands and it can be seen by people and it can prompt our words, speaking the gospel to them. Thank you for that. Thank you for this, your word and your promises. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.